Good morning, everyone. And I wanted to let you know that I'm sort of a, I'm not a pastor, not exactly comfortable right now because this is actually the first message I've ever done at Berkeley Friends Church. So it is, you feel, at first you kind of feel a lot of pressure on you. Because you remember the messages that you've heard from other people, people that are much weightier as a Quaker than you are, people that have a lot more experience than you have, that they can recite whole chapters of the Bible where I have to go and use Google to look Bible verses up. So kind of want to caveat that to kind of keep the expectations maybe a little low, but I'd like to start off with a Bible verse, and if you'd like to, it's just one verse. I'm probably going to read a little bit more of it. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And we do have Bibles in front of the pews, so if you'd like to just take a quick look at it. Ephesians 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And like I said, we probably have an expanded version of that. But as I was doing some preparation for making my very first message I've ever done, kind of taking a page out of a book from a couple other, people that I've watched and stuff like that. So I kind of want to start out with kind of a funny story here. And so goes something like this. Probably everybody's heard it before, but there was this 86-year-old man, and he was out fishing on his boat, and he's a retired guy, just fishing, everything else, throwing his lure in the water. And suddenly out of the water, he hears this, "Pick me up." And he looks around. He's like, "Who's saying that? Pick me up." So he kept going, throwing his lure in the water, everything else. In a few more minutes, he heard it even more adamantly saying, "Pick me up." And then the old man looked at the water. And then on a water lily, he saw a frog. And man said, are you talking to me? Frog said, "Yes, I'm talking to you." He says, "Look, if you pick me up, kiss me, I will turn into the most beautiful woman you have ever seen. And you have all the money that you have ever dreamed of. And I will make sure that all your friends are envious and jealous. Because you will have me as your bride living in a huge mansion." So with all that being said from a talking frog, the old man just picks up the frog and puts it in his pocket. And he just sort of continues fishing. And he hears this yelling in his pocket. And the frog's like, "Are you nuts? Didn't you hear me? I said, kiss me, I'll be a beautiful bride. I'll give you a mansion. Give you everything you want. Your friends will be jealous." And the old man looked inside his pocket and said, "You know what? My age, I prefer having a talking frog." So, that story is kind of like about, sometimes what people need are not what you or the world think they need. That initial judgment. And this message really came about when my wife and I played hooky from church. So we wanted to take a weekend off, so we went to that romantic getaway of Turlock, California. John knows Turlock, California, now what a romantic getaway that is. And so anyway, we were walking Sunday morning, just taking a morning walk, and there was this woman with a dog in her jacket. And she was walking by us, and she turned and said, "I found this dog, I found this puppy behind Lowe's. Would you like to take care of it?" And, you know, we looked at this woman, and she obviously had a pretty tough life. Looked like she probably lived kind of a tough existence. I didn't know if she was unhoused or not, but she looked like she lived a tough existence. And so, you know, we came and I went over there and I gave her $30. I said, "Hey, you know, here's $30 to help you out." And then I was led to say, "Hey, what's your name?" And you could tell she was a little surprised, and she said, "My name's Brianna." And I said, "Okay, Brianna, is it okay I pray for you?" And you could tell that touched her deeply. It was no longer the $30 to help her out with food for the puppy. It was about somebody reaching out to her, asking her what her name was, and then asking her, "Can I pray for you?" And that she said that really touched her. She said she didn't want to cry. She's going to start crying. And she said, "Yes, please pray for me." So that's sort of the genesis of this, where this message came from. And, you know, the idea is about praying for others. Because, you know, praying for others, it's not only a command from God, but it's also a blessing to you and for that person. And it's also one of the most powerful and meaningful ways we can express our love, our faith, and our hope in God. It's also a real transformative way where we can continue to kind of align our will with God's will. And I think most importantly, it is one of the most intimate ways we can experience God's presence and power in our lives. And I use the word intimate intentionally. And we will explore that in a bit. So, kind of the questions are, why do we need to pray for others? What are the benefits of praying for others? How can we pray for others more effectively? And finally, I mean, why ask them? Can it just be in silence without them knowing? Right? You know, sort of like, you know, no strings attached or casual praying. Why do we have to get all intimate? You know, I hope you know, kind of will be able to discover that point of the really what praying for others gives you, and that it will be a become a priority in your life. And I think the why is one of the most straightforward ones. It's because God tells us to. In the Bible, we find many commands of examples of praying for others. Yet, you know, he wants us to pray for others, you know, not because he needs our prayers, but because he loves us and he loves them. And it's not like he doesn't know what they need. It's about us. He wants us to share his heart and his vision for them. And you know, sometimes for those that ask us to pray for, is what that person thinks they want, not necessarily what God has planned in their lives. I mean, maybe they're asking us to pray for a new pickup truck, but in God's plan, it's a talking frog. God works through our prayers to accomplish his purpose and to reveal himself. And, I want to step back for a second and say, look, all these things I'm saying, I don't do it right. I feel like I'm sort of preaching, but not doing the greatest job I'm practicing. This is what I hope to aspire to do. And kind of want to bring up a Bible verse of 1 Timothy, verse 2, chapter 1 through 4, where the Bible says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So here we see that praying for others is not only kind of a nice to do thing, but it's a duty we have as a Christian. And God wants us to pray for those people in authority, our rulers. We want that they know his peace and his wisdom. And it's also about when we pray for others and those in power, we are aligning again ourselves with God's mission. And speaking for myself, it's really about not just it's this continual realignment where I'm going, I'm off the rails. I'm not thinking about this correctly. It's almost like a realignment going, you know what? I need to get where God wants me to, not where I think it should go. And then, I want to actually expand upon the Bible verse that I read and actually read the other two lines, verse 19 and verse 20. So I'm going to reread it very briefly here in Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20. And pray the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for what that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And we see that when we're praying for others, it's not only a way to support them, but it's like a way to empower them. Paul asked for prayers for himself and for all the Lord's and for all the Lord's people, that they may be filled with the Spirit and speak the word of God boldly. Again, for me, it's kind of a way of realigning my spirit and my attitude towards what Christ wants. But for me, it's always been easy to pray for our leaders and peace, the end to injustice, and those sort of abstract prayers are so critical and are necessary and should be unceasing. But there's another praying for others that is a way of joining them intimately, their mission, themselves. It's at a one-to-one level that is human, that is tangible, or what I call street, boots on the ground. And this goes back to the word intimacy again. You know, praying for someone's condition is by very nature intimate. And look, it's a scary word. It makes you feel vulnerable, praying for somebody by name. You know, implies risk. Implies risk of disappointment in an outcome. It also gives you an obligation to follow up, to care about that person, to hope for the best, but yet be prepared for an outcome that you may not necessarily desire or wanted for that person. And so essentially, you on an emotional level have pushed some chips in the game. When you say hello to a stranger on the street, you're anteing up. And at each step, asking their name and how they're doing, you are pushing those chips in and creating a bridge with that person. But what we are doing is we're partnering with God in those moments in spreading the good news. Because praying for others is a way of obeying Him. And it's a way of showing our love for Him and for our neighbors, our intimate neighbors, ones we know by face, by name, and in many cases by their real, tangible struggles they're dealing with. Second question, what are the benefits of praying for others? Praying for others not only benefits them, it benefits us and it benefits God. When we pray for how it benefits them is when we pray for them, we're asking for God to intervene in their lives, to bless them and heal them, and to do whatever they need, whatever that's needed according to His will. You know, just as importantly, when we pray for Brianna, that young woman on Turlock, you know, I'm also expressing care and concern for that individual. Our, not just our care, but, you know, our solidarity with them. And, you know, our hope for them and our faith in them. And, you know, saying all those things, yeah, we're lifting them up. But look, you know, when we're saying, hey, can I pray for you? It's telling that person, somebody gives a crap about you in this world. And that we care about that person in a Christ-like way. And we are taking that step of praying for them and interceding for them on their behalf. They're praying for them. And it's scary. It's scary opening yourself up. You know? I mean, it's much easier just give this person the $30 or your spare change outside the grocery store or whatever, you know, take the spiritual victory lap because you get that sort of hit of spirituality and say, hey, all right, great, did some God's will stuff, good work stuff. But that person is kind of what's called an NPC or a non-playing character to me. Because it's transactional. Given it $30, I feel good. Person gets the money. Because you know why? I didn't risk any emotional or spiritual currency. Because, you know, when we pray for others, we're asking, we're not only asking God to do something for them, but also doing something in them and through them we are asking God to transform them. And, you know, when we're praying for others, again, we're helping ourselves. We are growing in our relationship with God, because I think God wants us to put skin in the game. I think he wants us to be intimate with people out there, the mentally ill, the unhoused, the unheard, the hurt. I think God wants us to put skin in the game, just like Jesus did. And not just put skin in the game, but be vulnerable enough to give a crap about the outcome. Because, you know, the way that benefits us is that, you know, we're kind of, it humbles us when we submit to that will, where we become vulnerable, where we become connected with that individual. We are basically doing what I call the version of spiritual adulting, where we're by being vulnerable like that, understanding the outcome isn't guaranteed. We're learning more about ourselves, both our strengths and our weaknesses, and overall just more about life. And then the third part is when we pray for others, it benefits God. Because by doing that, we're glorifying his name, we're praising him, and we're thanking him. And it's kind of one of those statement moments. Because when you say, look, hey, you know, is it okay if I pray for you? At that moment, you're making a statement. You're publicly admitting your faith. It's like putting on your favorite team jersey on game day. It's like putting on that Niners jersey on Sunday morning. You're saying, you know, this is who I am when I say, hey, can I pray for you? You know? And you are, it's a testimonial to them that you're a Christian. When we pray for others, we are expressing our obedience to them. And his authority in our lives. Because if I wasn't directed by him, no doubt I would just give this person the $30, give him my spare change or something like that. But I think only by being inspired by God and having that courage to outreach to somebody else and listening to their struggles and then saying, hey man, is it okay, can I pray for you? That's inspired by him. So basically praying for others is just sort of like a win-win-win. Win for God, win for the person, win for you. And so, I don't have a lot of, I guess, advice, because how to do a good job of praying for others. I probably do a fairly poor job. But I think it's all about like being simple when you pray for that person, being sincere and being specific. You know, one of the things I was doing sort of my research for this is, you know, it's amazing how much time Jesus spent praying for others. He prayed for people in the morning, evening, in private, in public. And, you know, he's prayed for them during important events. And, you know, when they're doing my research here and talking about those important events, you know, I noticed the importance of what that meant to me is making sure that, you know, you show up for those important events in people's lives when they have surgeries, their loved ones are in the hospital, they're going through a personal crisis. I think when they're in those sorts of situations, it's even more critical that that's the time, it's game day, that you put on that jersey and say, hey, can I pray for you? And, you know, part of one of the things that Jesus did is that he showed that really, you know, praying for others is a lifestyle. And what do I mean by that? Somebody who knew my father, John Maurer, he went to this church 40 some odd years and committed Christian, committed Quaker. You know, a few months before his death, I came up and I said, you know, Dad, you know, having a tough day at the office or whatever else. And, you know, I said, hey, Dad, can you pray for me? And my dad says, Chuck, I pray for you every morning. That's it. And by knowing someone is praying for you, it provides that person, and I felt this, it provides a feeling of hope because there's somebody out there praying for your behalf. It provides comfort. And frankly, it provides you empowerment, that word before. It's not this just this support, but you feel empowered because there's somebody else is in your court praying to you, to God, listening to you. And, you know, I think also, you know, part of that is learning how to pray for people compassionately. I try to do the best I can praying for compassionately with kindness. So that means like it's not enough to say, hey, you know, I'm praying for so and so that he's would stop being such a narcissistic jerk. I don't think that's really the intent of that. I think it's about praying and compassion of what's behind all that. What is this person hurting from? Because this person just didn't show up being like how they are. And like all of us, they've came with struggles, traumatic events that we can only imagine, upbringings that we didn't have that could have been much worse than ours. So I think it's about that appreciation and respect for the person you're praying for, that understanding they've got the same human frailties that you do, the human flaws and the bad days. I think the final point here is the real question of asking, you know, why ask permission? You know, I went came back earlier and saying, hey, you know what? We can do the whole, you know, I pray for people I don't ask to pray for. Every time I drive to work, I see these unhoused encampments and I pray for those people. I look over there and I pray for them. There's a mentally ill woman that lives close by place that I work. I pray for her. And we should be praying compassionately and constantly for those people. But I think by asking permission from that person, that publicly tells them, and that's part of your testimonial that I'm a Christian and I'll be praying for you. It's to let them know someone that, again, that you care about them and their condition. And it gives them hope. It gives them hope that many times knowing that somebody's praying on your behalf turns that person and their heart towards God, knowing that there are other believers out there that are praying on his behalf. So, and forgive me, I was working on my conclusion up until about 10 minutes before while I was driving in the car. But and I think, you know, thinking about this, my experience of praying for others, you know, I think, you know, to me, I think it's one of those things you need to be led to do. And I think for those that, you know, aren't, you know, it's a scary thing. I definitely wouldn't be going to my coworkers and saying, "Boy, you were kind of a jerk today, but can I pray for you?" Probably not the way to handle it. But you know, what you're doing is you're taking those steps to foster intimacy. You're being vulnerable, and unlike me just giving $30, I am now spiritually give a darn about the outcome for that person we met in Turlock, that her life becomes better, that she feels the Holy Spirit in her heart, and that she feels the love of God. So I think that you realize through this process of asking and going through it is that, you know, the $30 may be the huge mansion and the beautiful bride, but you know, they may want the connection and the conversation with the talking frog. So on that note, we will continue on with open worship, and after a certain point, Steve will close.